Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
We are thrilled to have you here, Vijay. Welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Thank you very much for being here. I wonder to kind of to start off with, maybe if you could introduce yourself to our audience and almost share what you're best known for.
I'm Vijay Dhanasekaran. I'm the founder and CEO of Blocknetics, a boutique Web3 company primarily focused on Web3 strategy, technology, and advisory consulting. So we work with startups and enterprises to give advisory, technology, and strategy consulting on Web3, blockchain, and NFTs, and stuff like that.
I think it's absolutely fascinating, the kind of the whole space and the potential for where it could go and the stuff it's already achieved so far. I want to kind of, my first question to you is almost what drew you in? So kind of what drew you to specialize in blockchain-based technologies, particularly almost like the Web3 space as well?
I'm a technologist by profession, but what bring me to blockchain and the Web3 world is the Bitcoin. So my friend was saying in 2012, grab some Bitcoin. That is something everybody's saying. So that it was around, I think, $10, $15 at the time. But I was not paying much attention. I thought that it may be another web scam. I don't want to get trapped into it. Fast forward 2014, 2015, the price shot up already $4,000, $3,000. Then that interests me and fascinating to understand the technology behind that. Only then I caught into Web3 space and blockchain space. And it's so much fascinating since then. There is no looking back. It's absolute game changer for in many fields. And after that, I completely get into it. And that's how I started.
I feel like that's a very common story of kind of Bitcoin and all of NFTs and talking about all of that space. All of a sudden, it felt like everyone was talking about it when actually it'd been around for a lot longer kind of before then. But all of a sudden, there was this huge intake. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's talking about the future of it. So yeah, I very much get that.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, Bitcoin is just a starting point, but there is so much to this. Web3, like how Web3 have evolved, it's kind of a totally fascinating story. And we are at a very exciting times. So I'm just can't wait to see like the changes it's going to bring in to our everyday life.
And almost talking about that, talking about potential, the future, or just, you know, something that we're just coming to see right now, I wonder, could you talk to us about some of the emerging trends and developments within the Web3 space that you're excited about? You know, we might not see it on a day-to-day basis, but you're really emerged in it. You've really see what's on the forefront and what's being developed. So what's exciting you?
I think people often relate the crypto to blockchain, but that is not the case. Crypto is just we are scratching the surface. But underlying technology, it is much more to do. There are a lot of other use cases which can be enabled through the verge of blockchain and related technologies. I would put it like this, like maybe Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3, these are three waves that shaped us, the internet, where we are right now. I think Web 1 started very early in 1990s, where we just consume content. Somebody's kind of just creating the content, and we are kind of consumer. Nothing much we can do. And I mean, the sophistication that we enjoy today was not back in there. It's going to be just mostly the news read and something like that, like mostly read. And the social media, cloud, and the mobile, that changed the face of web. And that's what we called as the Web 2 era. The Web 2 era is kind of on the go, social media. So you read content as well as you kind of create content. But the content, what you create, is owned by a third party, primarily the service provider like Facebook, YouTube, or maybe other social media companies who are kind of providing that service. Now we are kind of having a shift towards Web3, where You'll be the reader, you'll be the writer, and you'll be the owner for it. So whatever content you create and content you own, that you are going to be the absolute owner. So that is the leeway, and also the power that Web3 is going to give it to us. So that is what very exciting to me, saying that each individual become the owner of their creation. And people call it like maybe decentralized economy or a creator economy, where everything is focused towards the creator directly. And that's how the consumption happened with the consumer side. But there is a connection between the creator and the consumer. That is what I enjoy most in the Web3 space, because before this Web3 advancement, there was not much tools and frameworks available for us to enable a direct link between the creator and the content consumer. Now it's kind of changing the game. And already social media is like Instagram, YouTube, there are a lot of content creators out there. But still, they've been moderated by a company like Facebook or Google, something like that. So this is going to give some leeway for indie creators as well as the actual creators who can be on their own. They don't have to rely on any platform.
I think it's very interesting that although when the event was happening, so that immediately sparks the talking about lots of famous actors went on strike because of they're talking about their, I think, resemblance or something was going to be taken away from them with kind of AI and other things that are like generating content for them. But exactly what you're saying about kind of what you're talking about is in some ways the future, they could own what they create as well. And am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. You are very much spot on. There are a cluster of technologies, I would say, like the 5G, the speed of the internet, and also AI, generative AI, that's going to enable the content creation. And also the technologies like machine learning and things like that with robotics all together. And also that VR, AR thing, which we are talking about. Meta and Apple are heavily into it. The virtual reality and augmented reality, that's going to help us in a more realistic way how we communicate through the internet. And also kind of give ownership directly to the creator. So those are some of the things that can be very exciting to see how it gets unfold in the next few.
And I wonder, when you're speaking to other people about kind of what you do, or you know, consulting businesses, are there key messages, key themes that you feel like you keep talking about and reiterating? Do you feel like you're talking over the same things again and again?
Yeah, many times, because this is a very new area and people are kind of in exploratory mode right now. As I said, like, we're just scratching the surface. There is a lot more to do. And everybody has that excitement to see like how this can be adapted to their business, right? Certain businesses are very much prone to it. Like, enablement of this technology is going to save them a lot of cost, as well as project them into the right business mindset. But some of the businesses may not be suitable because what they have right now is sufficient for them, but still they wanted to explore and see like how that can be adapted. So everything can't be solved with blockchain and Web3, but there are certain things which can be done better with the help of this technology. And primary focus right now is on DeFi. You must have heard of that. A lot of people talk about decentralized finance. That is the primary use case that's been, there for around maybe 3-4 years now. And also supply chain, many people use it. And entertainment industry, there is a huge potential for that with the unlock of Metaverse. Meta is kind of backing that, but many other companies is also into that, like kind of a blend between creating virtual worlds where you can teleport yourself into those virtual worlds and do whatever you want. Whatever you do in the physical world, you're going to have that experience shared in the virtual world as well. So these kind of things are getting unfolded while we talk, but still it is at a very nascent stage because there are a lot of things to be resolved. It has its inherent problem because that can't be adapted directly to the use cases what we talk about with the businesses. So we take a balanced approach with the businesses to see like with the exploratory kind of a mode, we get along with them, we understand their business and see like which areas we can leverage this technology so that that's going to be a value add for them and also kind of get their trajectory into their future and also help them very competitive. So that's the approach we take mostly. Sometimes we have to repeat the narrative because we want to make them understand that maybe every problem cannot be solved with Web3 or blockchain or generative AI. So whatever is relevant, then we use that kind of tools and frameworks.
Yeah, that very much makes sense. And I feel like as much as you have to go over the basics and like, this is how this works, this might work for you, this might not, I guess there is scope at the end of that to be like, oh, and you could do this and talk about the fantastic things that could be done in the future, develop on that. I guess kind of thinking about implementing new technologies within a business. Obviously, you've helped out a lot of businesses with this. Do you find that there are some common challenges that lots of companies face when adopting blockchain or Web3 solutions? Is the same things come up again and again?
Right. I think it's a continuation of the previous question. Primarily, we need to understand the use case, what they're coming up with, or what their business is about, and what cost savings and what technology proof this technology is going to do to them. If it is a consumer-based industry, then we need to see like how we can engage this with the customer and then make sure that this technology, as I said, like the ownership of the content they create, they'll be the primary owner, right? So we need to see like how it's going to assist them, not going to drastically change it, but at least going to assist them in the initial to see like what is the best fit to implement this, to have a flavor of this. And when it's going to be a drastic change to their business model, then they need to get prepared for it. Like how they're going to cater the needs of the existing customer while they're undergoing the technological transformation, the business transformation. So that is a challenge, like whether you wanted to use the technology to bring value because of the underlying technology, or maybe like how you wanted to adapt that for your growing business needs. So that we will have a series of discussions with them, exploratory discussion with them to understand like what is their business model? Is there an opportunity for them with respect to the cost, with respect to a better customer management, better business perspective? So all those things we consider. And then we recommend like what are the pros and cons, and then we make informed decision. The repetitiveness is kind of how this can be adapted to our business. So that is the one primary thing that is common across. Everybody is talking about whether a token can be adopted, whether the EVM can be, when I say EVM, it's Ethereum virtual machine or Ethereum ecosystem, how that can be leveraged. And or without that, like how the blockchain can enable some of the business transformation that's going inside their organization. So that's how it goes. I mean, initially it starts with that. And then once we know them better and we are at a point, then we just discuss the pros and cons. And then we just pick up what is relevant for them.
With that, so you kind of talked us through the kinds of conversations, the kind of asks that you're kind of getting. But almost to take that to a hypothetical or a general level, where do you think Web3 is going? Like, where's the next step for you? And also, like, what conversations ideally would you want to be having?
Primarily, we need to have a mind shift in the way how we think. Because if you ask me, like, how mobile phone would be used 20 years ago, right? I would not have any answers. And the use cases what we are currently undergoing may not be thought through at that point, maybe 20 years ago. Because mobile was just catching up and the use cases evolved as we grow and the behavioral patterns of the consumers and also a lot of things changed after that mobile getting mainstream. So likewise, the same thing is going to happen here. Would you get surprised because when I say that you don't need a username and password when you next log into any website or any applications. It's not face ID, biometric, that's how we already have in the mobile. But there is more to it with Web3. You can create digital wallets that is very unique and can be assigned to you. And there is no need of you remembering username and password anymore. It's a digital wallet. The underlying technology has the provision to enable that. You don't need a username password. That can be directly linked to your biometrics.
So someone who's not really kind of exposed much to this world, could you explain a little bit more about that?
Like a wallet, what you have, all the information you have it will be stored in the wallet. Like you have a Google wallet, an Apple wallet right now, that is on the mobile. But that can be brought in and that can be integrated with the blockchain, and you can provide an identity to it, like with your biometrics, and that is sealed. And that is more secure than your username and password. And wherever you go, whichever application you log in, you just need to connect your wallet.
And you just unlock that with your face or fingerprint, and then it unlocks everything.
Yeah, unlocks everything. And you can give limited permissions to them, what information they can access to it.
Gone are the days where kind of you have to keep resetting your password because you forget it, because I guess you just open it with your biometrics and it's all there.
And also there are more things to it, like your credentials, your college credentials and your things like that, certificates and things like that. That's going to be on the fly. You don't have to carry that anymore. Everything can be in your digital wallet and that can be unlocked. And whoever in need of validating that, they can just go and check that whether that credential is valid on the fly. You don't have to go through any third party, any things like that. So those kind of things are coming up.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating because I guess in a world that's so globalized now and kind of people are moving all the time, you don't have, you know, the space to think about, you know, where's my college diploma certificate? Where's, you know, all of these credentials? So I guess that's game changing that, you know, everything is just there.
I think passport is also a possibility. Passport also, like all your digital, all your identity related things can be digitized with the help of this and can be stored on the fly and can be verified real time.
I guess kind of my next question to you is, in your opinion, kind of how can businesses evolve in this kind of rapidly moving landscape of emerging tech? And kind of how do they navigate the bets and the risks that they make in the tech that they invest in?
Right. Already we are in the verge of, with the mobile and social media and the things are changing rapidly, we are already used to it. For the past 10 years, there has been drastic growth. Maybe I would say hockey stick growth. That's what I would say. But that's going to happen even faster with the AI and 5G and blockchain. So businesses are already exploring to see like how this can be adopted and use it to their advantage. It also gives seamless integration with all the products and services they are offering to their customer. So we are already used to this kind of change, but this kind of enables new business models and a kind of new mindset in thinking, like maybe Web 2 may be a way of doing things in a certain way because of the advancement of mobile and related technologies. But this one, we need to have a different mindset to see like how this can be adapted in the Web3 space. As I said, like there is no username, password, everything can be digitally stored. And the ownership is more towards the consumer rather than the company who's managing that. Then we have its own challenges, like how to manage that as a company and how to make business out of this. Because when most of the data is going to be owned by the consumer or by the creator, then how the company is going to make value addition by having them in their network or in their services and products. So these kind of use cases needs to be thought through, and we need to have an open discussion to see like how this can be adapted to their business model. There may be some drastic changes to some of their business models, to some companies, but not to all. But they need to validate and assess this with an open mindset. And then to see like where it is relevant for them to start with and then go step by step from there.
I guess it's that kind of risk management of, do we think this is really going to take off? If so, okay, let's really start with the foundations of it, but be ready just in case it you know, goes a different direction.
I would always quote for the story of Blockbuster and Netflix, right? At the start of the Web 2 era, Netflix offered them to be bought by Blockbuster, but they did not give much attention to that. But the entire business model changed, and Blockbuster was not adapting to the change that is coming. The wave, that tsunami that's takeover Netflix. Netflix is at, they well adapted to that changeover. But Blockbuster, they were a little delayed, and they totally washed out at this moment. So that's what the kind of change that I anticipate, and also I foresee that these kind of disruption is going to happen with respect to the technology what we are talking about.
It just sounds like businesses constantly have to be open-minded about what could come in the future. And I guess having conversations with you about, okay, what do you see happening? How would you kind of set up the foundations for a potentially a future where we can't even imagine it right now? It could be completely different.
I think this is going to change the way how we interact. Maybe the Zoom and Google Meet and things like podcast, that also may be more interactive with the metaverse with the help of Web3. And also how we interact, how we socialize, how we get entertained, how we get education. Schooling, it's going to change a lot with this kind of virtual for technology, because metaverse has a huge potential. And Gen Z already, they already used to this tool. Only adults and grown-ups, they are but little bit slow in adapting that, but already they are used to this kind of a world. Probably most of them would know Roblox, Fortnite, games like that. This is going to be an extension of that with the enablement of Web3, so that education and schooling can be fun with the set of technology what they already know of. So it's going to change everything. And maybe from now to 20 years, maybe how the mobile changed our lives now, that's going to be the way, like how after 20 years.
So. Definitely. And I guess kind of, especially with COVID, that exacerbated all of it with all, you know, teaching having to go online, all interactions having to go online. And that it'll be really interesting to see what that then turns into and how the younger generations are so native with it. They 100% that's just how they work, how they run with that and how what they change.
Yeah, so naturally we got adopted and COVID gave an opportunity for us. Because before that, the digital first was just a term. But after COVID, everything went digital. Within 6 months, we were able to run on remote. The entire nation, also the big organization, everybody, including schools and colleges, everything can run online. So that kind of adoption we went through, I think this set of technology is going to get it to the next level.
With that, Vijay, I've asked all the questions I wanted to kind of explore just maybe the surface level of what the future of blockchain and Web3 could be. But I guess for the end of our podcast, we do ask a few quick fire questions just to kind of almost get to know you, because we've learned a lot about your subject expertise. But we also want to hear a little bit more about kind of how you think and a little bit about you. So do you have a work routine?
Yeah, I have a... not very strict, but I have a work routine. So every morning I woke up early and I have my own yoga thing to be done. I do yoga and meditation every day, every morning. And I would not say distraction, but the amount of information overload we have. So I need to have some kind of detox I need to do. To stay relevant and also to get give attention to what where the attention is needed. So it does give me focus. So that's one of the very, very good morning routine.
I absolutely love that, because in a world where everything's trying to grab your attention, you just need some time where there's nothing around you and you really focus on where you are and ground yourself. So yeah, I guess on that part about being like overstimulated and there's so many things happening all at once, how do you stay on top of kind of the news of your in the developments in your industry?
Yeah, as I said, like this gives me the detox, gives me the power to stay away from things which where I don't need. So that's kind of helping me, because initially it's been a very challenging thing, because there is so much information you need to go through to stay relevant. And whether I'm going through the right kind of information, that's been a very, very, very challenging. There is too much overload of information. I need to skim through that to get to the right target.
And do you have a method of getting on top of that? Do you kind of have specific websites you go to?
So I have my own bots and ChatGPT and things like that. That's good. That's helping me in the recent times, maybe past 6 months to 1 year. It's helping me a lot to get things focused on what is needed and get away all those things which are kind of a distraction. So Mostly, I don't read any of the news websites or big content generation websites. But I have my own bots and alerts being set for relevant topics, so that will notify me to see like what's happening in that side of things.
And then, so my next question is kind of, what do you think is perhaps overhyped right now? And is there anything that isn't being picked up by the mainstream that you're excited about?
I mean, crypto, there is a lot moving towards crypto. There is a lot of, stigma attached to it, but the blockchain is more than crypto. Crypto is kind of just one piece of it, but blockchain is kind of the underlying technology, has a lot more to do. So I'm excited more about the Web3 on the technology rather than the crypto. There are good crypto companies, but off late because of the overload and also kind of a lot of unregulated space, there is so much noise in the ecosystem. So we need to cut away and try to see like what are the real players and what are the use cases they are developing and what technology advancement and how unique their business model is. Those are the things I would look for. But rather than that, maybe crypto is kind of overhyped at this moment.
My next question to you, kind of, what was the biggest learning curve you've had over the course of your lifetime?
You cannot do anything, everything, right? But you can do anything, but you cannot do everything. So you need to get grounded, get focused on what is relevant to you and what brings satisfaction to you. Then focus on that. I mean, the rest of the things will follow, but you need to be satisfied and you need to be happy in what you're doing.
I think that's honestly such great advice, especially as someone in a space that's ever evolving. So I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I think each one has their own personality. So whatever best suits them, because I am kind of a more exploratory kind of person. I'm very curious about something, about technology, and basically kind of explore new things. So this comes very naturally to me. But finding this is kind of a very difficult task. Like, it takes a lot of time and a lot of trial and error.
Definitely, yeah. I'm sure it really does. But yeah, I have one last question to ask you. It's a bit of an odd one, but it's something that we ask everyone here on the podcast. So, Vijay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
I would say maybe 8 or 9. Maybe always I have a different perspective than what the general crowd is doing. So I always kind of question things like why it's this way, why it is that way. So that makes me like stay out of and see that people sometimes they see me weird. Why this? Enjoy why you're asking these kind of questions they ask me. My kids and my wife, they also ask me.
I like that. And I think it's so important to have people who do ask those questions. It's what makes exploratory discussions interesting and really dives deep into the what ifs. So it's much needed. With that, thank you so, so much for your advice. I certainly went from not knowing a lot about Web3 to knowing a lot about what the future could hold. Super exciting to explore those kind of conversations. So thank you so, so much for your time and your teaser of the advice that you could give to others.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.